Hi guys, it's Tinola and I'm back again and welcome to my podcast. On today's episode, I am going to be talking about sexual abuse. Yes, I know it's a very, very difficult thing to say, but it's really the abuses that is common. Well, I grew up in Nigeria and I know that most children that were born between 1996 and 2000, if I'm not wrong, you can probably like correct me, but most people born in that time were sexually abused. A lot of us were sexually abused. I've met a lot of my classmates, of my friends that were sexually abused in one way or the other. And the thing is, we're always abused by people that are supposed to protect us. People that know us very well, people that take advantage of us because they know that we can't say anything anyways. They're always threatening you. If you tell mom or if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill you. So you as a child, you don't want to be killed. So you technically keep quiet. And not only is... Okay, I'm going to be talking about my experience personally. Most people know that I was sexually abused. I say it a lot, but I never say how many times. If I remember very correctly... for me, my experience being sexually abused started, I think, as a four year old. It started pretty much very, very early. If I could remember, like, the first time, I can't remember the first time exactly, but I can remember the first time it happened in my head. Okay, then it continued, I think, till I was nine with several people, like different people, because we moved a lot. I lived with my grandma, so we moved a lot, so yeah, with different people. So for me, at that time I was really, like, I was a very open child. I'm still an open child. Like, I would literally talk. I talk a lot. Like, I'm always a happy child, that intelligent baby, that girl that is always there. So when these people come to me, it got to a point, I thought I liked it. I thought they do it to me because they like me. Okay. This might be really funny, but I think if I'm really, like, based on my own experience, it was for me, like, when these men, when they came to me, it's because I am beautiful. Like, I'm really, as a child, that's what I always thought, that I'm beautiful and they like me. They like me. That's why I'm attractive enough. Apart from the fact that everybody know I was really, like, really intelligent. I was an intelligent child. So I was really beautiful because these men came for me. I remember one particular person. I don't know if I have the right to call his name, but let's just call him Shagun. Okay, it's just a random name, by the way. So Shagun used to walk, not for my grandma, but he used to walk. They had a shop beside my grandma's shop. Okay, basically my grandma was a major distributor for Levante's bread that time. So she had a big big container rather. So she had a big container where she would bring, like, she went to as a wholesaler, rather. She was a wholesaler for Leventis. So I think Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays she would go to their company to break bread and then come really late in the night. So I would not exactly really late, but in the evening. So the routine was for me to go to school in the morning, okay, and then when I came back in the afternoon, I would stay with Shagun while my mom, like, before she comes back in the evening and help with the goods. So Shagun was practically who I saw every time of my life. After coming back from school, he would be the one to give me money for food, help me with my assignments and all. Okay, so I spent most of my time with Shagun. So Shagun was this, I think, if I can't really tell his age, but it should be then in his, like, probably 18, was a teenager, well, a teenager, but towards the end, like 18, 19, and he was an apprentice, so I would stay with him. He was really nice. Like, well, right now grown of age, I know he was not nice. What he did to me was not nice, but then for me he was a nice person. He would buy me food. Like, he buys me a lot of meat, he buys me food, because he would tell me, "You are beautiful and I love you." He would do those things to me and tell me, "I love you." That's why I think one of the consequences of all this is basic for me, is because when someone tells me they love me, for me it's like a normal thing. People say, because they said that to me as a child, "I love you," and then he does not love him. The word "I love you" to me doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just a normal word. So people say "I love you," so they used to tell me that they love me. So for me, it was a normal thing to say, even if I did not mean it, even if, like, person in front of me does not mean it, but they just say it to me. So it was like a regular thing people said to me. So yeah, going back to what I was saying, so he would tell me he loves me. Yes, he said, "Tino, I love you," and then he would kiss me. Good. Okay guys, I'm really going to be like go intimate in my episode, so get ready to get, like, to listen to things that you might be uncomfortable with, but this is me being real. So I'm gonna come out clean and say stuff I haven't said in years, stuff I never said to anybody. So guys, get ready. So with Shagun would touch me and my private part. It would touch me, it would make me do things to him. It would practically sit me down on his penis and make me touch his penis. I think it usually would start with him kissing me, and then it would, I didn't have any boobs then, so he would just rub my body and then go put his hands down in my vagina and touch it, and then ask me to touch his penis, to rub his penis, and then I rub his penis, and when he's done with it, like, he would then make me sit on it. I would sit on his penis, and, like, not only would I just sit, I would rub, like, I'm rubbing his penis by sitting on, you know, like, making movement on his penis. And then when he does that, and sometimes it would make me suck his dick. Yeah, he came with a lot of Vaseline. Yeah, I hated the smell of Vaseline those times. So yeah, he would touch, while still touching my vagina, he made me do all those stuff to make me suck his dick. Yeah, so he became some sort of his way of being affectionate with me. He would tell me, "I love you." Like, he would hold me, and after all this session, he would buy me gifts. I think with Shagun never told me he was gonna kill me or anything. He never threatened me. He always, like, "Okay, I'm gonna, you," when after all this session, he would buy me all these things, nice things. He would buy me ice cream, he would buy me biscuits, anything I wanted, he would buy it to me. Like, he would buy it for me, rather. So Shagun was that guy, really nice. And the thing is, this kept on for years. Well, yeah, because my aunt would come back, because she wasn't living with us, she was living with our cousin. So when she come to Lagos, for holidays, she was close with him. Close, maybe that's too much, but they were friends. So I saw, like, the only person I could tell that Shagun was doing all this to, because at that time I didn't even see it as one bad thing that he was doing to me. I just felt like he was being nice to me and that he loved me. He would tell me, I want to marry you. Like, you're gonna, I'm going to make you my wife when you grow up." So I didn't see it as a bad thing. So I would prefer staying with Shagun than staying with my own aunt, because I know Shagun will always buy me things. And then, like, I'm not saying, there's this thing that her parents usually do when one uncle says, "Oh, my wife," and then her parents will say, "Oh, go and meet your wife or your husband." You know that thing? So my grandma, well, may her soul rest in peace. I'm not saying this because I'm not making it look like she knew. She did not know. But she just said, Tinua, they would ask, like, where is Tinu? Tinu has gone to meet her husband. She referring to Segun. So I would go see Segun. I would prefer staying with Segun all day than, like, stay with my own aunt. Because I know he would do these things. And then at the end of it, I get some sort of reward. And I get promises. So for me, it was like, he loved me. And I was going to marry him when I grew up. So that is one aspect of it. One of those people that did those things to me today. That's just one of those things they would do to me. And it kind of affected me because I saw men. I saw myself as being attractive to men. Even before I started growing, even before puberty stage, I always wanted to be the girl, like the most attractive girl, the girl with the center of attraction. Like people, when I woke up in the room of my mates, my peers rather, I want the males, I'm not even talking about the guys of my age now. I'm talking about much more older guys. When I walk into a room, I want them to notice me. I want them to talk to me. Oh, you're a pretty girl. So I always try to get their attention. I could walk up in the room with guys, my uncles, for example, when they bring their friends, I would just walk up to the room and introduce myself. Hi, I'm Tinu. I'm so-so-so's person's little cousin. Just because I want them to look at me and say, oh, she's brave. Oh, she's outspoken. And then when they see those things, they like me. So for me, with what happened with Segun, he made me like, okay, he's not the only one, but it's some sort of a process. I'll talk about the rest of those guys later. But with Segun, he made me wanted it. He made me love it. He would touch me and I feel like, well, I love him. He would tell me I love you and I'll tell him I love you too. So he made me wanted it. Like, okay, I'm doing a good thing because he loves me. At least he's not threatening to kill me. So which should count for something. Because he loves me. This is really bizarre. It's really weird. But I just had that mentality that I needed men to look at me. And I know that I'm not the only one. I've been through all this. A lot of grown adults of our age today have gone through all these things. And so what I'm going to do is, if you have had this experience and yet you'd like to share, even if it's anonymously, you can always contact me. My details are on my profile. So you can always contact me if you feel like you want to share something or you just have want to talk about it. Anonymously, I would not mind. Just to know that you're not alone. We've all been through these things. I personally have stories to share. I have a lot of stuff to share. So on this episode, I'm going to stop here for this episode. And then join me in the next episode so we can talk more about sexual abuse. Thank you. See you next episode.